Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Samach Zayin. We will begin in Daf Samach Zayin, Amar Aleph, the third line, the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Moicher es Chotzer. If somebody buys the Chotzer, our Mishnah continues discussing what is and isn't included in a sale. And our Mishnah teaches us, Moicher es Chotzer, if somebody sells Chotzer, included in the sale of the Chotzer, Moicher Batim, the houses, the bairis, the pit, psichin, maris, all of that is included in the sale of a chatzar. And the Rishonim explain why are all of these different areas included in the sale. There are two primary pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that chatzar, by definition, is a much broader area and is a much more inclusive area than a bayis. And therefore, even though hamoicher es habayis, as we've learned, is a much more limited sale, a chotzer, by definition, includes more. Another pshat is that batim, bayris, sichrim, aris are all different areas that are normally found in a chotzer. And since these are all areas that are normally found in a chotzer, it's obvious that when I sold the chotzer, I included these areas in my sale. Along the same line, the chotzer was used for very many different activities. They used to do laundry in the chotzer, different such type of activities, and therefore, bayris, sichrim, aris are all areas that are needed to fulfill the activities that a chotzer is to be expected. In fact, the Mefarshim go on to explain that when we spoke previously in our perek about hamoicher es habayis, what is and isn't included, the Mishnah wasn't as detailed in saying bayris, sichrim, aris. Here we find our Mishnah being extremely detailed in what is and what isn't included in the sale. And the Farshim explained because exactly that is the point that we're trying to make. Since, as I said a moment ago, chotzer is a very broad term, and the Mishnah is trying to portray that concept by saying bayris, sichrim, aris are all included. The Mefarshim ask, we find in the Torah that Ephraim and Avram Avinu bought from Ephraim the Ma'aris and Machpelah, the Pasuk says, Hasada Nesati Loch, Vamora Ashaboy Lucha Nesatiha. And first, you make an interesting observation. First, the Pasuk, when it speaks about the Sada, the actual field where the Ma'aris and Machpelah was situated, the Pasuk says, Nesati Loch. And then when the Pasuk goes on to continue to discuss the actual Ma'orah, the Ma'aris Machpelah, the Torah reverses it and says, L'chon Sitiha. Why? That's a very beautiful pshat. Farshim explained that based on what we just learned in our Mishnah, as soon as Avram Avinu purchased the Chatzar, the Ma'aris Machpelah should have automatically been included. However, if that would have been the basis of Avram Avinu's purchasing the Ma'aris Machpelah, it could open itself up to dispute in future generations where Ephraim or Ephraim's descendants would say, no, we don't believe that just because you bought the Chatzar, just because you bought the Sadr, the Ma'ara is automatically included. That's why the Pasuk says, Asadr Nosatilach, you bought the Sadr, but don't assume that the only reason that the Ma'ara is also sold to you is because the Ma'ara automatically, as our Mishnah says, comes along with the Sada, which then could open up, as I said, to dispute. L'chon Nesati, I'm giving it to you expressly, and there should be no argument that the Ma'ara also belongs to you. Avalayas Matatlin, the Matatlin that are in the Chatzar are not automatically included. Here too we find the Rishonim debate. What does the Mishnah mean by saying as metaltlin? The Rashbam seems to explain that anything that a person would carry along, just because I sold the chotzer, this isn't really part and parcel of the chotzer, is not included in the sale. Others explain that anything that's unique to using the chotzer is included. Anything that's not unique to the chotzer is not included. What would be the nafka mina between these two pshatim? Certainly everybody agrees that if I have food in the chatzar, that's not included in the sale. Because I'm moving, I have to have food to my in my new home also. The question is, what would be regarding movable furniture? According to the first pshat, movable furniture belongs in the chatzar. You'd need to have furniture in the chatzar. And therefore, that would not be the metatlin that not included in the sale. According to the second pshat, if it's movable furniture, even though the metatlin, they would not be included in the sale. However, bezmanch amaloi, if it was expressly said, ho v'kol mash v'toichai, then harekul mechurim, that is much more of a broader statement, and all these items are included. Furthermore, and we mentioned this in the previous year, the Rishonim point out that if you sold, that if the chatzar, when it was sold, the boundaries of the chatzar were clearly delineated, then we know whatever is within those boundaries is sold, anything not within those boundaries is not sold. Benkach or Benkach, continues the Mishnah, no matter how the sale was worded, a bathhouse and a beis habad are not shabbataycha that are in the chatzar are not included in the sale. And Rishonim debate why the merchatz and the beis habad are not included. Some Rishonim explain because, going back to something we discussed at the beginning of the shiur, since not every chatzar necessarily has a berchatz, not every chatzar necessarily has a beis habad, so the fact that there is the fact that this chatzar has it doesn't mean that it really belongs to this chatzar and they're not automatically included in the sale. Another pshat Rishonim suggests that even if there is a merchatz or a beis habad in a chatzar, the merchatz and beis habad are not exclusively used by the people living in the chatzar. If somebody already has a merchatz, it's open to the public. If somebody has a beis habad, an olive press, it's open to the public. So since it's not in any way exclusively used by the people of this chatzar, it's not included in the sale. Interestingly, some of the paiskim use this concept that I just spoke about as a raya to something that Rabbi Yehuda Chosid brings in his tzavo. Rabbi Yehuda Chosid says in his tzavo that a person should not have a private mikveh in his home. If somebody has a mikveh in his home, he should open it up to the public. Because if Chas v'Shalom he doesn't, the Rabbi Yehuda Chosid uses very sharp words. He says, "Beisa yicharev, that home may Chas v'Shalom be destroyed." Say the Paiskim. That's exactly what our Mishnah is saying. What we just said a moment ago. A merchatz, even if I have a merchatz and a chatzar, because I just learned what Rabbi Yehuda Chosid said, I shouldn't use that merchatz for my exclusive use. I have to open up to the public. So it's not unique to the chatzar, and therefore when selling the chatzar, even if the chatzar has a merchatz in it, the merchatz is not included in the sale. Rabbi Lezer is much more restrictive, and he says, HaMoiches a chatzar, if somebody sells a chatzar, LaMachor El Avir Shel Chatzar. Only the airspace of the chatzar is included in the sale, nothing else. Tana Rabbonim. If somebody sells a chatzar, we've discussed this so many times. You have one apartment within the other apartment. So the inner apartment that you have to walk through the outer apartment and then only reach the chatzar is included in the sale. We're going to discuss Beis HaChulsois a lot in Mitzvah Shem in today's shiur. Most Rishonim, and that will be the pshat that we will use in learning our Gemara Mitzvah Shem, is the Beis HaChulsois is sand that was used to make glass. And if there's such sand in the chatzar, it's included in the sale. Others explain Beis HaChulsois is a type of sand that was used to keep cold things cold and warm things warm. Others explain Beis HaChulsois was a type of sand that they used to put out fruit on top of that sand to dry. Others explain the Beis HaChulsois means certain types of rocks, certain types of stones. Others explain the Beis HaChulsois means that a separate area within the chatzar that's higher than the rest of the chatzar, all of that, according to this price, is included in the sale. But again, as I said a moment ago, we're going to learn Beis HaChulsois for the purpose of our Shir Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach today, is that it's an area that has sand that's used for glass. Chanuyos, psuchos l'toichai, any store that the entrance to the store you could only get to from the chatzar. So it's obvious that the store was made for the use of the people within the chatzar. The mkarsamai are included in the sale of the chatzar. However, v'sheim suchas l'saychai, stores that you can't reach from getting through the chatzar, rather the way to enter those stores is through the rishus harabim, einam karsamai, are not included in the sale. Psuchas l'kan al-kan, if it has an entrance both to the rishus, from the rishus harabim and from the chatzar, says the braisa, einam karsamai, are included in the sale. And we'll discuss this more in a moment. Rabbi Lez, as we learned in our Mishnah, says, Hamaych is a chatzar. If somebody sells a chatzar, Lamacher el melusa shel chatzar. Only the airspace, the open area of the chatzar is included in the sale, nothing else. Amamar, we learned in a braisa, says the Gemara, Psuchas l'kan, as we learned a moment ago, Psuchas l'kan and l'kan, if there's an entrance to the store, both from the chatzar and from the Rishus HaRabim, the halacha is nimkaris imoy. They're included in the sale. Ask the Gemara, v'tanu Reb Chiya ein nimkaris imoy. They're not automatically included in the sale. How do we reconcile these two brises? Answers the Gemara, loy kasha. Hard derived to Shemshai Lagav. If most of the use of the store is for the people within the chatzar, then it's included in the sale. If most of the use is for people from outside the chatzar, then it's not included in the sale. So the way most mefarshim explain the Gemara is that the Gemara here is faced with sort of a contradiction. What is the din when it has two entrances? Because as we learned earlier, the Gemara began saying if it has an entrance from the chatzar, it's included in the sale. If it has an entrance from the house, it's not included in the sale. And now what happens if it has two entrances? So the Mishnah is teaching us, so the Gemara says if it has two entrances, we look at what the most of the use is. If it's mainly used by people from the chatzar, it's included in the sale. If it's mainly used by people from outside of the chatzar, it's not included in the sale. However, the Rambam has a different way of understanding the Gemara. The Rambam says that if it's a situation where it has two entrances, so it has entrance from the Rishus, from the Chatzar, and entrance from Rishus Rabim. So then we retain the status quo, and it will not be included in the sale. The Rambam is learning that our Gemara is talking about a different din altogether. Our Gemara is talking about that it has only one entrance, but it's used by both types of people equally. What will be the din? Rabbi Lez, as we just said, Hamoicher as a Chatzar. According to Blazov, you sell a chatzar, lamacher el avir shel chatzar. Only the open area of the chatzar is included in the sale, nothing else. And as the Rishonim help us frame the next piece of Gemara, there are three different types of words used in understanding this. There's the word chatzar, there's the word darta, and there's the word dirasa. And now the Gemara is going to explain what is the din in every type of situation. Amar Rava, says Rava, id amale di rasa, if when selling this area, the word di rasa was used, says the Gemara, the kula amale pligi de bati mashma. The word di rasa includes not just the open area, but even Rabbi Lezer will agree that it includes the different areas, the different houses, etc., that are in the chatzar. On the other hand, according to this version, if the word chatzar was used, there would also be no machlokes. Even the Tanakama, even the Rabbanan would agree that the word chatzar means only the open area, nothing else. Keep ligi. The machlokes of our Mishnah, according to this version, is where the word darta was used. Keep ligi. Where do we have a machlokes? Domle darta. That the word darta was used. Masova, tabitza mashma. One man dama holds, and it's just the open area. Omasava, and the other mandama holds, bati mashma, it means the area where there are homes. That's this version of the machlokes. Ikadamri, however, there's another version. Amarava, id amale darta, that if the word darta was used, the kula amma, la pligi, the bati mashma, e everybody will agree that Darta not only includes the open area, but it includes the rooms. Furthermore, where the word Chatzer was used, the word Dirasa was used, everybody will agree that it certainly includes not just the open area, but the area where there are houses. Ki pligi, when do we have the machloikis of the Tanakam Rav Elazar? Damalei Chatzer, that the word Chatzer was used. Masover, Rav Elazar's opinion is Chatzer avira mashma. The word Chatz means strictly the open areas. Masov in Tanakama holds Chatzer HaMishkan. That it doesn't mean only the open areas, but it also means the rooms, the different houses, etc., within the Chatzer, because he brings Raif in the Chatzer HaMishkan. And the way the Rashbam explains this Gemara is as follows. The Torah, many times, speaks about the Chatzer HaMishkan. Yet when the Torah speaks about the Chatzer Mishkan, the Torah isn't only referring, according to the Tanakama, just to the open areas in the Chatzer. It's also speaking about the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim and the other areas that were in the Chatzer Mishkan. So we see when the word Chatzer is used, it's not limited to the open areas. That's how the Rashbam explains the Gemara. The Yad Ramah explains the Gemara somewhat differently. He says that the size of the Chatzer HaMishkan is very relevant in different areas of Halacha. The size of the Chatzer HaMishkan, which was a base of Sayim, has relevance different areas where we need to speak about the shear of a different areas. We use the Chatzer HaMishkan as the model for that shear. Now when we speak about the shear, the size of the Chatzer HaMishkan, we don't only speak about the open area. We include the area where there were houses, where there were rooms. So we see that the Chatzer HaMishkan is not limited to only open area, as Rabbi Elazar learns. According to the Yad Ramah's explanation, there's going to be a very big nafkamina. According to Rabbi Elazar, when we use the Chatzer HaMishkan to teach us a shear in Halacha, how large of an area it has to be, according to the Tanakhama, we're not only going to take into consideration the open areas, but he's also going to take into consideration the places where there are houses. According to Rabbi Elazar, we're only going to take into consideration to know what shear we're talking about, what size we're talking about, only the open areas. Continues the Gemara. The Amar Rav Nachman. And as the Rishonim, again, teach us, this is an entirely new piece of Gemara. Says the Gemara as follows. Amar Rav Nachman. Machlai chosis umetzula. And again, as we learned earlier in our shir, a chosis we have been learning is an area in the field, is an area where you have sand, that sand is used to make glass. Metzula is an area where you have earth, that silver and gold are mined in that area. And I bought from somebody two such areas. A place where there's silver and gold, a place where there's glass. Hichsik b'chulsus, as we've learned so many times, one of the effective ways of doing a kinyan is a maisa chazaka. If I do a chazaka on the area of the glass, loy kanam mitzula, it won't be effective for the area where there is the silver and gold. Similarly, vice versa. Hichsik b'mitzula, if I do a chazaka on the area where there's silver and gold, loy kanam chulsus, it won't be effective for the area where there's glass. These are considered two totally distinct areas. Ask the Gemara, Amy, is this true? That to do a kinyan on one area doesn't help for another area. Vam Shmuel, and we learned this dinner Shmuel previously, taught us, Machalais Esses Sodois Bes Medinois, if I bought 10 different pieces of property from you, in 10 different countries, teaches us Shmuel, Kivin Shechse Be'achs Mehen, Kanakula, if I do a Maisa Chazaka in one of them, it's effective for all 10 areas. The Sadna, the Ara Chadhu, a Karnakula. So we have a Gvaldi Gakasha. He was saying that if I do a Chazaka on the Chulsis, it won't work for the Metzula, and so too, vice versa. And here we're seeing that Shmuel teaches us that the Kinyan on one area is effective for all the other areas. But teaches us the Rashbam, that when did Shmuel say this gewaldige chiddush, this gewaldige kula actually, that a chazaka on one area is effective for all the other areas? Says the Rashbam, it's only when he was paid in full. That means if I bought the 10 pieces of property from you, and I paid you in full for those 10 pieces of property, that's when Shmuel teaches us a chiddush that a chazak on one area will be a chazak for all of them. If I didn't pay you, even Shmuel will agree that it's not effective. The obvious question, when we learned the Rashbam Pshat, if I paid you, so kesef is an effective kinyan. Once I paid you, it's an effective kinyan. So why do I have to go to rely on a kinyan chazaka? I already have a kinyan kesef. So the Rashbam answers, and we've learned this concept from the Rashbam previously, the Rashbam answers that Al Gemara is referring to a place that they don't, that the minig hamakim, the custom in that place is, that they don't rely on kinyan kesef. That even with a kinyan kesef, they strengthen that they also have to have a kinyan chazaka, and now Al Gemara is discussing when and where the kinyan chazaka will be effective. It's one teretz. Another teretz is that we're referring here to situation, not that I actually gave you money. Because if I actually gave you money, as I just said a moment ago, we already have a kinyan kesef. And once we have a kinyan kesef, we don't have to have a kinyan chazaka. Rather, we're referring here to a situation where you owe me money. And you can't pay me. You don't have money to pay me back. So I say, you know what, let's make a deal. You don't have the money to pay me back, but you have property. I'll purchase these 10 pieces of property in exchange for you not having to pay me back. Even if we say kinyan kesef is a valid kinyan, when is kinyan kesef a valid kinyan? If I actually give you money, here I didn't give you any money, I just forgave a loan, that everybody will agree is not a kinyan kesef, and that's why kinyan chazaka will be necessary. Another teretz is that it wasn't a kinyan kesef, it was a matana. You gave me these 10 pieces of property, and you gave me the 10 pieces of property as a gift, but I have to make a kinyan that it should become mine. And that's when Shmuel says, when the kinyan is effective. Ask the Rashbam, that we learned earlier in our Masechta Perek Cheskes Abatim, we discussed in that perek at great length, kinyan b'nichsei hager, that if a ger dies, as we discussed so many times, without relatives, the first person who takes ownership of his property after he passes away becomes the owner. But the Gemara said that if, let's say, he left over 2 pieces of property with a border, a boundary in between the 2 pieces of property, being kind of one will not be effective for the other. Ask Rashbam why in Al Gemara the Shmuel say that if I bought 10 pieces of property, the kinyan of one is effective for all, and why here isn't it effective? Answers the Rashbam that by, according to Rajbam's understanding of the Gemara, it's very simple. Because Rajbam said, we learned a minute ago, that when does Shmuel's din apply? Only when I paid you. So if I paid you, that's when Shmuel's mechadish, that a chazaka one will be effective for all. But here by ger, I didn't pay you. I'm being kind of in a hefker. There Shmuel will agree that the kinyan of one won't be effective for the others. Another test to Rishonim give is even if we'll say, not like the Rajbam, and that Shmuel's din of doing a kinyan on one is effective for all the areas, when is that said? When there's a buyer and a seller. But in the case of Nichsei Hager, there's only a buyer. There is no seller. In the case where there is no seller, there's only a buyer. The halachic terminology is, there's no das acheris makna, even Shmuel will agree the kinyan of one area won't be effective for the other areas. The Mefarsh and the Machna Pfrayim has a very interesting discussion. Let's say I'm renting a number of properties from you. What will be the halacha? Is the kinyan on one of those properties going to be effective for all the other properties? Because here certainly I'm not paying you, because halachically, we just discussed this in the previous year, schiris edem ishtalemes ela b'soif. You only pay for rental at the end of the term. So now when I'm renting it, I didn't give you any money. So will the kinyan chazaka on one area be effective for all the different areas I'm renting from you? The Machna Frayim suggests it's a machlokes rishonim, and he says a very nice pshat. He says as follows: when does the Rashbam require that I pay you in order that Shmuel's din should be relevant? Only in a case where you expect to get paid. So if you expect to get paid, Shmuel says that the kinyan chazak on one area won't be effective for all the other areas unless you actually got paid, because you're waiting for your money. But in a case where you're not waiting for your money, because schiris ain't a mishtalem esel, if you only expect to get your rental fee at the end, then even Shmuel will agree and the Rashbam will agree that a kinyan chazak on one area will be effective for all the other areas. The other Rishayim say to Machna Ephraim disagree. The Rashbam taught us that according to Shmuel, in order for kinyan chazak on one area to be effective for all the areas, there has to be actually money given. Without money given, there is no din. Interesting, machloikas achroinim. How does the lomdus of what Shmuel says, that if I do a kinyan chazak on one area, it works for all the other areas work? The Birkei Shmuel, Rabbarach Ber, explains like this. He says that Shmuel's teaching us that even though normally, for a kinyan chazaka to be effective, you have to have a separate chazaka on every area. Here, the Shmuel was mechadish, the one chazaka is enough for all the other areas. That's how Baruch Ber learns. The Chazon Yecheskel, Rav Chaskel Abramsky, disagrees. He learns that the lomdus of Shmuel's din is a very different lomdus. He says the lomdus of Shmuel's din is that what Shmuel is teaching us is that we view the one act of chazaka on one field as if there was a separate act of chazaka done to each and every one of the fields that I want to buy. Actually, the Mefarshim say, there is a source, a makar in the Torah to teach us this thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, Kum lech ba'aretz l'arach l'rachba. How will Avram Avinu be kinder Eretz Yisrael? By walking kinyan chazaka of Eretz Yisrael. But Yaakov Avinu, we find a very different concept. The Torah says, famous pasuk in the Chumash with Rashi, Ha'aretz ashata shoychev oleo. And Rashi there says, Melamed shekipla kol ha'aretz tachs merashoysof. If you just say the words of Rashi, very difficult words, as if all of Eretz Yisrael was folded under Yaakov Avinu's head. How do you understand it? So Sedim HaFarshim doesn't mean that it was physically folded on his head. What it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Yaakov Avinu, you will become the owner of Eretz Yisrael, but you don't have to do Kinyan Chazaka of Eretz Yisrael. Doing Chazaka on one spot of Eretz Yisrael, like Shmuel says, is effective for all of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, I furthermore saw that the Mefarshim explained that this is the way to understand what happened between Yosef and the Mitzrim. We all remember that the Mitzrim, the hunger, affected all of the Mitzrim. And they came to Yosef and they said, we'll sell you our land, v'ni'el chala avodim, and then we'll be your slaves. But when we look in the Pasuk only speaks about Yosef taking the land. Only later, the Torah again repeats that they were avodim. Why doesn't the Torah speak about both of them at the same time? Sayyidim HaFarshim, what Yosef Tzadik did was as follows. First, he did a kinyan in all of Mitzrayim. How did he do a kinyan in all of Mitzrayim? He did it as Al Gemara says. He did an act of kinyan in one area that was effective for the whole country. Once he did a kinyan in all of Mitzrayim, then anybody that's on his property becomes his because of a kinyan agav. That's why it had to be a two-step kinyan. So again, back to Al Gemara. We have a question. Shmuel says that the act of kinyan in one area is effective for all other areas. And here we're saying that if I bought a metzula and chulsis, doing a chazaka on one won't work for the other. Answers the Gemara. Hasam, who the sadan darachadu, there the entire world is really one mass of land. And that's why Shmuel says that the act of kinyan in one area is effective for all other areas. Kulachad tashmishtu, it's all the same, it's just land. Aval, hacha, regarding our Gemara, where one area is a metzula and one area is a chulsis, ha tashmishta l'chod, and therefore the kinyan chazaka of one area can't work for the other area. However, Vikadamri, there's a different version of this discussion. Amar Rabba Amar Rav Nachman, hichsik b'chulsis, if I do an act of chazaka on the chulsis area, kana metzula, it's effective for the metzula, and vice versa. Ask the Gemara, according to the Ikedamri, what's Rav Nachman teaching us that we haven't learned previously? Pshita, Dama Shmuel, Machalai Esa saw the Stin Shmuel teach us that if I bought 10 pieces of property, an active chazak on one area is effective for all the other areas, so why is Chusas and Metzula differently? Answers the Gemara, Madatei Mahosmu Desadad Arachadu. By if I just buy a regular piece of property, so there I say buying one piece of property is effective for all the other areas. Aval hocha, regarding the chulsus and metzula, since each area has a very distinct purpose, different and distinct purpose, this for glass, this for silver and gold, and therefore I would think that the chazaka on one area should be effective for the chazaka on the area, other area, kamash malon, that it does work. However, teaches us the Ritva, a very big chiddush, that even though our Gemara, in this Ikka de Amri, is applying Shmuel's concept not just to pieces of property that are all the same, but even to property that are chulsus and metzula, he says there's a very big nafkamina. He says as follows, Ritva. If I buy 10 pieces of property, they're just regular pieces of property. So Shmuel teaches us, doing an act of chazaka on one property will be effective for all the other properties, no matter how far these properties are one from the other, 10 different corners of the world. By chulsus and metzula, yes, the Gemara is applying Shmuel's concept that doing a chazak on one area will be effective for the area only if they're next to each other. Given that these two areas have these different distinct uses, purposes, the only time an act of chazak on one will be effective for the other is if they're next to each other. If they're all the same, they don't have to be next to each other, says the Ritva. If they're different, they have to be at least next to each other, says the Mishnah. But before we begin learning the Mishnah, we need to try to describe, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, how an alapress would looked. The way the alapress looked was there's a tub, a vat, where they kept the olives. On top of that tub, there were boards. And on top of that, there were two boards, vertical boards, with a beam going across them, with a hole in the middle of that beam, with a screw going through that hole, with another board attached to the bottom of that screw, and when they wanted to crush the olives, they would push the screw down. The screw with the beam would push the boards that were right on top of the olives down, and like that you got to crush the olives. And the discussion of our Mishnah is what is or isn't included in the sale of a Beis Chabad, area that crushes olive crusher. Says the Mishnah, Hamacha Beis Chabad, if somebody sells an olive press, Macha is a yam. Yam is the vat that I just described where the olives are. Ves hamamel, ves apsulis. All these different words will be explained in the Mishnah, in the Gemara Beis HaShem's Baruch. Avaloi machar, as havirim, as hagilgul, as hakayra. However, says the Mishnah, Bizman, if when they made the sale, it was expressly said, Shamalai hu v'komash v'taychai, when the words hu v'komash v'taychai were used, then every part of the press is included. I read kulam achurim. Belazar says the Mecha Beis Chabad, if you sell the Beis Chabad, Mecha is a kair. And there's a fundamental machloikus rishonim in understanding what is or isn't automatically included in the sale. The Rashbam learns that whatever is kavua, whatever is attached to this area, is included in the sale. Whatever is movable is not attached in the sale. The Yad Ramah has a different way, or maybe it's the Rimigash, has a different way of distinguishing. He says whatever is a very expensive piece of equipment that is typically not necessarily used exclusively to this alapress, I may own an alapress, but I can't afford to have this piece of equipment, so I'll borrow it, is not included in the sale. Anything that's standard as part of an alapress is included in the sale. Says the Gemara, as I said, the Gemara is going to explain each one of the different parts of the press that were discussed in the Mishnah. Yam, talfacha. Talfacha, as I said, is the area where the olives are kept. Mamel, what is the mamel? Omer of Ababa mamel, mafrechta. It's a stone, it's like a mortar. Before they would actually crush the grapes, or press the grapes, they would crush them with a mortar. That's the mafrechta. Psulais, what are the psulais? Omer of Yochanan, kluntzais shall Erez, Shemidim, Baisakaris. As I said before, there were two vertical boards that the cross beam were attached to. That's what the psulas are. Averim. What is the Averim? Kifshe Galgal. Kifshe Galgal is the boards that I spoke about that are directly right on top of the olives, that when the big beam hit those boards, they would actually crush the olives. Galgal, the galgal is chumrosoi, is that screw that I spoke about. Kair is the bee. Turn our bottom. Here we have another brisa. Hamacha beisabad, if somebody sells an olive press, machas and sarim, the beams, that's yakovim, is the, what I spoke about before, the vat where the olives were actually kept. Ves mafrachos is the mortar. Ves rechayim is a mill, because before they actually would, and actually the Rashbam says this, there were three steps. First they would take them through the mortar, then they would take them through a mill, and then they would take them through the press. So as a rechayim tachtoina, the bottom part of the mill, which was stationary, according to Rashbam, avloy halyoina, which is portable. Continues the Braisa. However, Ubizman, when the sale was conducted, Amalai Hoy, the Komash Betoichoy, then I read Kulam Achum, they're all included. Benkach or Benkach, according to the Tanakama, Lemocher El Esaveirim, Flois Asakim. Sakim are bags in which they used to transport the olives. Velayas and Ratsufim are leather bags that they used to use to transport the olives. Rabbi Lezer disagrees, and he says, Hamoich beisabad, if somebody sells an olive press, mocher es akaira, the beam is certainly included in the sale. Shalai nikr beisabad, al Hashem akaira. That's the most essential element in the sale of a beisabad. You don't have a beisabad without the beam. Obviously, it's included in the sale. Says the Mishnah, Hamocher es hamerchatz, if somebody sells a bathhouse, lo mochas in the sorim, the boards that are on the bathhouse are not included. There's two pshatim in the Rashbam, what nesarim are. One pshat is that the way they used to heat the bathhouse is they used to have fire under the floor of the bathhouse. So the floor of the bathhouse was quite hot. How did the people prevent from getting their feet burnt? They used to have boards that they put on the floor of the bathhouse. Those boards are not automatically included in the sale. That's one pshat. Another pshat is, the floor of the bathhouse was dirty. So people would walk on the floor, they would get their feet dirty. How did they prevent from getting their feet dirty when walking in the bathhouse? They used to put boards on the floor, those in the sarm are not included. Ves asfalim, that was like basins where they kept water. Ves hablonius. Blonius is two pshatim. One pshat is, simple pshat is the towels. They used to have towels in the bathhouse. Those towels are not included. Another pshat of Bolognese is that they used to have curtains for privacy in the bathhouse. Those curtains are not included. However, says the Mishnah, v'zman sh'oma hi v'kol ma'ashe b'toichoy, then I read kulam achurim, they're all included. Ben kach, even if he said, hu v'kol ma'ashe b'toichoy, lo mocher es ha'gur shamayim, they used to have a reservoir from which they got the water for the bathhouse. That reservoir is not automatically included in the sale. Furthermore, they used to have a storehouse where they kept wood that they used to use for fuel to heat up the bathhouse. That too is not automatically included in the sale of the bathhouse.